And I'm going to have Makoros that I'm going to share on the chat. I'm going to also try to... Okay, and then with after I put, here's the Makoro on the chat if you want to see them. Otherwise, I'm going to try to do the screen share. All right, so here we go. Pesach is just around the corner. And I want to get into the spirit a little bit by trying to think about some ideas about the Haggadah. We're going to use some of the wonderful Haggadahs of our Sadiqim, of the generations, the Sfardi Chachamim of all the generations, and put it together a little bit of stories, a little bit of Divrei Torah, and be inspired, Mir Tashem. We'll start with some sad things, and we'll work our way towards more inspirational, uplifting ideas about the Seder. It was 1944, the Kovno Ghetto in Lithuania, the March 27th, 3rd of Nisan, right before Pesach, around this time of year. And Kovno was a ghetto with 29,000 Jews that were rounded up by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And they were surviving little by little, and they were making it through by being together and doing whatever they could under the circumstances. Already in 1944, the war was on the brink of breaking. The Jews were almost free, a few more months. And that fateful day came, and the Nazis came into town, and they rounded up all the, they had kinder action, they rounded up all the children. And they told them all to come into the train. The mothers, the fathers, everybody was crying. Couldn't believe the sight. There was no more children in the Kovno Ghetto, March 28th, 1944. Sadly, all those children in Kovno never returned. All those mothers shed those tears. They came before the little shtetl, the Kovno Ghetto, a week and a half later by Pesach, and the rabbi, the person who decided to say a little Dvar Torah, came in front of them and said, tonight there's a dispute, there's a machlokas in the Gemara, what are we supposed to do? Do we say hallo or do we not? Comes Pesach night. And we have the opinion of Beit Shammai. He says, you're supposed to say the first paragraph of hallel until you get to Eim HaBanim Smecha, until you get to the paragraph that the mother of the children is going to be happy. But tonight, we can't say the hallel because none of the mothers are happy. We have no reason to be rejoicing. But yet in the Gullus, maybe that's the opinion for the Geula. We don't follow Beit Shammai, we follow Beit Hillel. He said, the opinion of Beit Hillel is you go two paragraphs in the Pesach Seder, you incorporate two paragraphs until you get to Ha'afli Sur Agamayim. Even as so many as the rocks will be flooded and the rocks will be turned into water because of the flood of water, Hashem, you're going to show us your redemption. And he said, tonight we're going to sing a hallel. We're going to flood the rocks with all our tears to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our hallel. And we're going to show him that we're waiting for his geula, even if it takes all our tears to turn the rocks into water. We're going to sing tonight because we're in the Gullus like Beit Hillel. On another note, though, the Seder is not only a time of reminiscing of sorrows. It's a time of geula. There's a story told about, and we're going to get into the thoughts of Tzaddikim soon, just momentarily, just a thought to put us in that frame of mind, about a very sad situation, a person named Ellie. And Ellie was married for a number of years with his wife, and he had children, and unfortunately, the situation was going sour. He was separated from his wife. They weren't divorced, but it was a very rocky situation. And it came Pesach time, and Ellie was separated. He was without the kids. He was without his wife. He didn't know what to do, but he was going to have a Pesach Seder, whatever it meant, to have a Pesach Seder by himself. In the same town, there was a childless couple that had been married for a number of years, and they knew Ellie. They knew Ellie, and they thought, you know, maybe let's invite him. We'll have him over. Look, we don't have anybody to ask our Manishtana questions, any children of our own. Why don't we invite some guest that has nowhere to go for his Seder? So they invited Ellie. And they were reading through the Haggadah, and finally they got to Manishtana. And Ellie said, look, in my Seder it says, Kan HaBen Shoel. Here's the place where the child's going to ask. is that I heard something that touched me very profoundly. The Samar Rebbe says, Kan HaBen Shoel is not just addressing the audience, your children that are presently in front of you. It means to our Father in Heaven, we're the children. Kan HaBen Shoel. This is the time that we, the children of Hashem, can ask Hashem for whatever we need. And with that, the childless couple started to cry. They started to pour out their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, next year we want to have a manishtana with a child that could ask the questions. Eli started to cry and he started to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be reunited with his family. And so that story has a happy ending. Baruch Hashem, this has been touched by a Seder. The end of that story was next year they both were. The childless couple that didn't have children for many years did have a child that year. The Ben was Shoel, and the Abba, the father, heard, and Eli was back with his wife and with his children. One of the major themes, now I'm going to start with some of the sources, and I'm going to share my screen just for a moment, just so everybody could see, is that tonight is, on the one hand, it's a night of being inspired, feeling the passion, feeling the sorrows of all the generations, and taking us to lift us up, because we know the Gula is on the rise. The Gula is about to come. It's the 15th of the month. We have 15 parts of the Seder. There were 15 kings from David HaMelech until Chizkiyahu. There were 15 kings on the rise, building up to a crescendo to the greatest of the kings of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and then 50 kings of the waxing and the waning of the Jewish kings until there was a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem, we're at the 15th night of the Seder, we're at the 15th night. Please, let us take these 15 steps to walk up the Shiramat, the 15 steps of the Beis HaMikdash, the 15 steps of Geula. We should see not the waning of the Kal Yisrael, the 15 steps down, rather the 15 steps up to the Geula. And in the sources here, I have the first sources of Rav Amar. The stories I'm telling, and maybe you could tell your own Seder, whichever stories that inspire you, that you're passionate about, that make you think about Klal Yisrael, the sorrows that we've gone through, and the redemptions that Hashem has shown us, just gets us to be in the mood to open our hearts out to Hashem. Rav Amar, Rav Shlomo Amar, previous chief rabbi of Israel, Sephardi, Moroccan, he says the following idea. He says, why is it Vayenochu b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, that they were groaning before Hashem, and Hashem heard them? Why is it that they prayed? He says, I'll tell you why. Is it because whenever a person prays before Hashem, there's a satan. The satan comes and says, this guy doesn't deserve it. This mouth that speaks lashon hara, he's going to be the one that's going to get his tefillah answered. When a person groans, when a person just is in pain and cries in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is something that the satan doesn't understand. The malach can't read our thoughts. The satan doesn't understand. It goes up directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like he says the shofar, our tears and the shofar and our groans go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hear us. And that's, at the core, what we're thinking about on the Seder night is Rachmana Liba Bahi. It's a time of using our hearts. It's not the words that we say, but it's the presence we make. It's the feelings we think. It's reaching to the pinnacle of the Shir HaShirim, feeling a closeness to Hashem on the Seder night. That's what he says of what all of the Seder is about. In the middle of the Seder, when we read the Pesukim in Reinechu, that they groaned, Hashem listened to Mitzrayim specifically when they groaned. They didn't have any words. They were speeches, like the animals. It says, Adam of Behema, Toshia Hashem. We say, Sikatha, Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem, you're going to save us with the animals. What do you mean, save us with the animals? The animals don't have any words. But Hashem listens to the animals, particularly because they have no words. There's nothing right and wrong. It's just Hashem is going to love and care for them. Just like Hashem loves and cares for the animals, Hashem is going to love and care for us, and much more, because Hashem understands our thoughts and our feelings. Going on now to one of the main, I'm going to bring out three major themes tonight in the Seder. The first one is the theme of Chesed, and that's starting on the second page of the Makoros. It's a major theme that opens up the Maggid section. We have Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya is a time for giving, a time for opening our houses to other people. Someone, in fact, asked Rav Nevensal, Shlita, the previous chief rabbi of the Old City, rabbi of HaKotel, and people in the Tivari, a very chashuv Talmud, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and once Rabbi Zwickler the rabbi in West Orange, he said that everybody in HaKotel knew that there was a lottery drawn every year to get into Rav Nevin Sal Seder. It was a very coveted position to get into Rav Nevin Sal Seder. And if you didn't get in, too bad, you'll get a Seder somewhere else if you were staying in Israel for a Pesach. And he was not one of the lucky ones that got into by the lottery. But he heard, if you go by time when it comes to Halach Manya, Rav Nevin Sal opens the door. And he tried. And Rav Nevin Sal, when they got to Halach Manya, opened the door. And lo and behold, there was some Bachrim that wanted to join the Seder. This year, someone asked, one of the Rabbeim ben Nativ asked, Rav Amitai asked, Rav Nevin Sal, are we going to say Halach Manya this year? We can't open our doors for the guests. We're in Galus. We're facing a terrible Magefa. We're in a situation we can't open the doors. Rav Nevin Sal said, of course. That's the lifeblood of Klal Yisrael. We have to just reflect on it and think. And there'll be a time when we'll be able to do that chesed for our front fellows. We have to declare to ourselves, our homes are shared with other people. Our bread is for other people. Rav Amar, on the second page over here, asks an interesting question about the story of the redemption of Egypt, from Egypt. And it says, many a time it tells us about that Moshe was asked by Hashem to go ask the people, please ask the people to borrow from their neighbors, the Egyptians, some stuff that they have, and they'll take it with them. Why does Hashem have to ask in such a way? Shalu, now that you should please ask the Jews to take, Shalu Ishmei Re'ehu, take from their friends. What, the Jews didn't want money, something free? What's that all about? Why did he have to ask such a nice way? And furthermore, Rav Amar asks a very powerful question. He says, it says, Shalu Ishmei Re'ehu. Only one time does it say this, the other times it doesn't say. They ask from their fellow. And the Gemara learns, Re'ehu means a friend. And he says, in the Gemara's terminology, the Gemara Bava Kama, it learns, Ein Re'ehu El Yisrael. A Re'ehu, a friend of a Jew, is another Jew. So he says, the Gra, I don't understand. Rav Amar quotes the Gra, who says, what does it mean over here to talk about a Re'ehu of a Jew is a friend? But in this Pasuk, we're talking about the Jews borrowing from the Egyptians. So how could the Pasuk use Re'ehu, which Re'ehu usually means Jews? But the Jews didn't borrow from other Jews. They borrowed from the Egyptians. Rav Amar quotes an amazing answer from the Gra. The Vilna Gaon says like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Jews didn't deserve to be freed. And Hashem's din was upon them. And we're going to see more sources about this. There was a kitrug against them. They were doing Avodah Zarah. Why should they be saved? Hashem needed someone to order Hashem's chesed and rachamim. Someone to make it, to inspire Hashem, to inspire HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. And that would only happen if we could show our own chesed to other Jewish people. And that's going to happen when we do chesed for other people, Hashem's going to give us chesed. When we do chesed for others, Hashem's going to do chesed for us. And Rav Amar quotes this, and I'm going to bring more sources that elaborate on this, from the Tanya of Eliyahu. When the Jewish people were about to be freed, they needed a chesed. So Moshe said, please, you're not going to get any money from this. Just please lend to your friend. Just take whatever you have and offer it to another Jew. Before there was the story of leaving Egypt, we needed once to lend to our fellow Jews. Only after lending to our fellow Jews once, then did we lend, then we were able to borrow from the Egyptians and get free. Feel free to any questions at any point. Feel free to chime in. Any thoughts, additions. So it says the Gra, that's what it means by Shalom Ishmael Re'ehu. They had to borrow from each other in order to inspire Hashem's chesed. Olam chesed yibane. Hashem builds the world and the redemption based on chesed. And it says that's what it means by Yisub Bnei Yisrael Kedvar Moshe. They followed Moshe's word. And they borrowed from each other. And then it says, again, a second phrase. Why do you have to say two phrases? By Shalom Mitzrayim, Klei Kesef, Klei Zov, V'Simlos. It's a double phrase. First they followed Moshe's word, and they borrowed from Egyptians. He says, no, it's not a double word. There are two things going on here. Once they borrowed from each other. And the second thing is that they then borrowed from the Egyptians. Rav Soloveitchik says, like, just this is a core matter at the Pesach night to think about chesed, because a slave, someone who doesn't have anything, usually doesn't want to give to anybody, because I have to worry about my own survival. The minute that the Jews were able to say, we're all in this together, I can lend to you because you're my brother, that's exactly what Hashem wanted to see from us. Then Hashem was ready to take us out of Mitzrayim. The next page in Avraham Chaim Palagi about the similar ideas about Chesed in the Seder, he says an incredible, interesting idea. This is on the third page of the Makoros. I'm going to share it. It's from Rav Chaim Palagi. He has, who lived in Turkey about 200 years ago, the chief rabbi, and he was before the Ben Ishchai, has a letter to the Ben Ishchai. He gave him once he gave him a bracha. And it says like this. Rav Elazar ben Azaria, by the way, he quotes from the Arizal, was a Gilgal of Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi lived only until 52. He was supposed to be like the Sadiqim, like David HaMelech lived up to 70. And he never reached his full tikkun, for whatever reason it was. He was supposed to pass away before Shaul was dethroned. So he never got to see the full years of 70 years. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, his Gilgal, came back and said when he was 18 years old, Harani kiven shivim sana. I'm like I'm 70 because 52 years I had in my first previous life, together with the 18 years I've had in this life, I'm like I'm 70 years old altogether. Says the Rav Chaim Palagi, what does it mean that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria in the say at the beginning of Magid says, I didn't get to say Messiah Mitzrayim at nighttime. Kol mechayecha, he says, I didn't get to figure this out. What do you mean you didn't get to say it? Didn't you hold that you're supposed to say it? Like, why didn't you have to wait till Ben Zoma came along till he figured it out? Kol mechayecha halela includes, nighttime should include Messiah Mitzrayim at nighttime. What got him to figure this out? He gives a drash, an interesting idea. He quotes that there's a machlokas, the Chidah and the Arizal, two of the great mekubalim of the centuries of the by the Sfardim. The Arizal had a practice to give tzedakah by Shacharit, by Vayerech David, and by Mincha, Potecha Yadach, he would take out coins for tzedakah. He wouldn't do it at nighttime. Why? Because nighttime is a time of din, a time of not Hashem's mercy. And he quotes the Yerushalmi says that once there was a rabbi who was coming, Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa, one of the people who was at the same, he was coming to give tzedakah to a poor person at nighttime. And a different rabbi corrected him. He said, wait a minute, I thought, there's a time for tzedakah and there's a time not for tzedakah. The Arizal says that, you know why the time not for tzedakah at nighttime? It's because it's a time of judgment. It's a time that we're not supposed to be inspiring Hashem's chesed. The Chidah said, no. You see, there is two types of chesed and tzedakah. There's the tzedakah of nighttime, there's tzedakah of daytime. It's correct also to give tzedakah at nighttime. What does that Gemara mean? It means we want to order Hashem's chesed and rachamim. It's going to be more effective during the day than at night. But at nighttime, your actions stand on their own to be a tremendous zechus for yourself. It doesn't order in Shemayim that Hashem is going to do mirror your actions. But it doesn't matter. Hashem is going to look at your actions, see your chesed, count as a chus for you and for all of Klal Yisrael. So there's a machlokas. Do we give tzedakah at nighttime? Says Rav Palagi on this machlokas, he says, you know what? Perhaps you can bring a proof to this. Is when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, they were in Mitzrayim for 400 years, and they needed some zechus. Why were they in Mitzrayim for such a long time? It says because they were sorry ayin. He quotes that they were in Mitzrayim for 400 years because ayin ra, a stingy eye, has gematria 400. The letter tough, the last of the alphabet. It's when a person doesn't want to give anything. There's nothing in his wallet. He's ready. He's decided, I'm giving nothing. That is why there are 400 men of Esav. There are 400. There's tough represents, Misa represents a stinginess. And that represents the ayin ra that the Jews had, a stinginess. And the minute they were able to overcome that and lend to each other, the same idea that Rav Amar was talking about, that Hashem was going to let them free. They needed to do a chesed in order to inspire Hashem's rachamim to let them down the tribe. So says Rav Chaim Palagi, I have a proof. How do I know that you're allowed to do tzedakah at night? Because they were freed at night. The Jews did a chesed for one another at nighttime specifically. And that's why they were freed. So Hashem says, so he says, you see, the nighttime is a time of rachamim. You could still do tzedakah at nighttime. Your action will stand on their own and inspire Hashem's rachamim nonetheless. And that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria meant when he said, I couldn't talk about Mitzrayim at night because I thought Mitzrayim is talking about Hashem's rachamim. Hashem freed us. Hashem did incredible miracles for us. And it wasn't the right time at night to talk about that. Until I learned the story more properly and I saw there was an act of chesed that was done even at nighttime, one for another, one Jew for another, that happened and was specifically more Hashem's rachamim, specifically at nighttime. So that's the basic idea, he says, behind Mitzrayim, and it's a drush about the nighttime, about the Jews being freed at nighttime. He says, just one story that's very nice about chesed in Rav Chaim Palladio, he says, the Gemara in Tainus, it says as follows. There was once a famine, a drought in Israel, and it caused a famine, and the rabbis knew that they had to ask for rain. And then there was such a big chesed, a person, Abba Chilkia. The Gemara tells lots of stories about him, and also a very pious doctor, talks about the same Gemara there. Abba Chilkia, in the Gemara's in Tainus, it says as follows, once the Jews needed rain, and they sent two rabbis, please go get Abba Chilkia to daven for us. Abba Chilkia saw from his window that the people were coming, and he knew that there was a drought. So he said to his wife, I know that we need Rebbetzin Chilkia. The Jews need some rain, they're coming to ask us. Why don't we go daven before they come here? She goes into her corner, he goes into his corner, and they're praying to give them rain. And immediately as they start to pray, there's a tremendous downfall of rain, and they have all the rain that they need in Eretz Yisrael. And the two Talmidei Chachamim come to knock on their door, and they knock on the door, and Abba Chilkia says, so what are you coming for? They said, oh, we were coming to ask you to daven for us for rain. He said, but it's raining, don't you see? You don't need me. He said, you didn't fool us. I'm sure it's you saw us through the window, and we saw it, just so you know, we saw you also. We saw you were davening with your wife. So why are you here? They answered, Abba Chilkia, we just don't understand one thing. We saw you were in one corner and your wife was in a different corner. When we saw the rain clouds burst out of the sky, they came over your wife's corner over this direction that your wife was davening. Not over your direction. Can you tell us why that is, Abba Chilkia? Abba Chilkia turned to the two Talmidim and said, you guys don't get it. When a poor person comes to me, you know what I do? I open my wallet, I give them a buck, and they have to go to the store and they have to go find something. They have to wait until they're actually able to enjoy the tzedakah that I give them. When they come to my wife, they knock on the door and they ask for something. My wife opens up her pantry. She gives them cake and cookies. She gives them something they can enjoy immediately. When I daven, Hashem doesn't listen right away. When my wife davened, immediately Hashem gave a sign. Hashem was going to answer her immediately. That's the power of tzedakah and chesed. Tzedakah tzatzil mimavid. Rav Chaim Palladio quotes another amazing story. There was once a poor person on the traveling on the path, and somebody else asked him for bread. He was starving, and the poor person gave up his entire lunch. He gave him everything he had. Rabbi Chiya saw this, and he was amazed. And he said, I'm sure there's going to be a miracle that happens to him. And he waited all night. He was watching what was going on. And this poor guy that gave up his entire lunch to the other starving guy, he was lying down on the path, and a lion came next to him and didn't eat him, just stayed waiting there. And then a poison, and he was wondering, what was this all about? And then a snake comes and is going to bite him, a poisonous snake, and the lion came and pounced on that snake. And then he understood what was the chus that this poor guy had. I want to move now on to a totally different theme of the Seder, something that I think is even more passionate and really speaks to the heart of the entire Seder, which is as follows. I'm going to show you on my Makoros. The idea of Banim Lamakum, that really, as we started with Kana Ben Shaul, that we have to emphasize and remember that tonight, we're all children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem chose us out of all the other nations. And the paragraph this might be shown most prominently in is when it says, Baruch HaMakum Baruch Hu. This is also from Chaim Palladio. He says, there was a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to give us the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to get us the Torah, and the angel said, no way, we're not parting ways with the Torah. It belongs to us. What are you doing here, Moshe? And he says, Al Pi Drush, they were coming from a specific halacha. If there's something that's free and a poor person's about to grab it, you're not. If someone else grabs it in front of him, imagine, there's a free piece. There's a free cookie, like by YU, they have a Hefker table, so a free area where there's cookies sometimes. and someone's coming, a poor person comes and puts his hand on a cookie. If I come and I slap it and grab it out of his hands, the Gemara says, that's called Anim Hapich B'Charara. A poor person's ready to grab something and I grab it from him, Nikar Rasha. That's terrible. It's an awful thing. So the Malachim said, look, we have nothing to us. We don't have any mitzvahs. Let us at least learn the Torah. You're stealing the Torah away from us. We're the poor people. Why are you stealing the Torah from us? And the angels were arguing with Moshe that you don't deserve the Torah. The Aruch Chaim says, what did Moshe Rabbeinu respond to this claim? That there's an idea that we say brachas to Hashem. We bless Hashem. And the Gemara in Shabbos that he quotes says, it doesn't make any sense for a servant to bless his master. That's disrespectful. Who is the servant coming to give me brachas, to give me blessings? He's not a chashev person. A child go to their father and say, I want to bless you, Dad. I want to give you a good wish. I want to give you a hug. That's something that's a sign of respect, but it's a sign of closeness. They're able to give a certain bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that we can be Baruch HaMakom is also the reason that Baruch Shanat Alan the Torah is the reason we're able to say that we deserve the Torah. And that's what Moshe said to the angels. Angels, do you bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way that we do? There's no such thing as an Eved that's notain shalom the rabbi. There's no such thing as a servant that can bless his master. It must be that we're children. And the halacha of Ani Mahakam of Acharar doesn't apply to a kid. Let's say there's my father put out a platter of cookies. Ma or dad, they made a platter of cookies or something. And then there's somebody who's coming to take a cookie. And I say, no, I want to get that first. I'm not a Rasha. That's not a problem. Because my father would want to give it to me more than this other person. Chesed starts at home sometimes. It says, Aruch Chaim. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu answered the angels. We're kids. We come first before these angels. We're Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. There's a wonderful story, amazing mashal. I heard this Ryan Man story. He says from his Rabbi Gamliel, a Mekubal from Eretz Yisrael, he said the following idea. He said the mashal goes as follows. There was once a father, and he made out a will, and he had a lot of money. And he made out a will, and this is the olden days, he had a lot of money, and he bought diamond jewels that were worth millions of dollars. It was amazing, amazing jewels. And he tied them up in a sack. And he wrote a little will, and he passed away. And the three children, as unfortunately sometimes happens, were arguing, who does the money go to? One child, the oldest child, says, of course, Dad wants to go to me. I'm the oldest. I'm the most chashuv. He loved me most. And I'll tell you, I know that he loved me most because I would be the one that he would call on Erev Shabbos, he would call me especially, and I'd call him sometimes. But I could tell you, I know that he loved me, and we have pictures around me, around the house. I could tell you for sure he loves me. And he must be that he wanted it to be for me. And the second child says, no, guys, it must be it's me. Sorry, to clarify, there is no will. The will said nothing. They opened the will, it was empty. No will. The first child said, no, but I deserve it. I know that Dad wanted to give it to me. He loves me most. I'm the oldest child. And the second child said, I deserve it. I'll tell you why. Because I went into business with Dad. I worked with him day in, day out. And I went with him to work. I walked with him back from work. I talked with him. I made him laugh. I laughed with him. Of course, he was giving this to me. There's not even a question in my mind. And the third child says, I didn't call him as much, and I didn't go into business with him, and I'm not the oldest, and I hadn't spent the most time with Dad, but I'm telling you, I'm certain it's mine. The boys say, how do you know? He said, look where the jewels are put. They said, look, it's wrapped in some sack. He said, that's not just a sack, it's a shirt. He said, whose shirt is that? They said, I don't know. Everybody tries it on. The only one it fits is the youngest child. He said, that is a clear telltale sign. It's mine. Moshe Rabbeinu said to the angels, angels, I'll bring you a telltale sign. The Torah is ours because it's given to children. Ani Mahabhar doesn't apply to kids. Hashem wants to give it to his banim, to his children. And just like the shirt fits that youngest kid, it's for sure destined for him. So too, the Torah is destined for us because the mitzvahs that are given to kids is only a mashal for us. The fact that the Torah was given with mitzvahs that angels can't do is obviously it fits us perfectly. That's a basic theme of the Seder. He says that's the idea of Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. An incredible idea I have here from Rav Amar. I'm going to pick up pace a little bit just to get through more things. An awesome idea that I really like from Rav Amar. He says as follows: We say Amartim Zevach Pesach. One of the psukim. He says we're going to talk about the Korban Pesach. What is the word Amartim? You'll say this is the Korban Pesach. That word's extra. Just say, you know, this is the Korban Pesach. What do I have to say? And you'll say it's a Korban Pesach. You know, we say Pesach Matzamor a million times, three times. What's the saying it's a Pesach? Is there any meaning to saying it's a Pesach? Says our Amar. I'll tell you what's so important. When someone's really in a good relationship with someone, when they love someone, one of the biggest compliments you can give to someone, or when you know you're in a good relationship with someone, is to say, and then what the Gemara says, Kala na v'chasuda, how do you compliment a wife at a wedding, or the bride? How do you compliment, the husband? How do you make Ketam Rakim Lifnei Akala? Kala na v'chasuda, you tell the guy, how do you make the woman happy? By telling the guy that his wife is so wonderful, she has so much chesed. When she hears that he is appreciative, she is really happy. I should have said the question better. The question on that Gemara is, if you want to make her happy, if you want to make the cow happy, Kizim and Rakim Levinakal, tell her compliments. You look so beautiful. You're a big Baal Chesed. Why are we telling the guy? The answer is, because she is happy when she knows that he is happy for him. And the same relationship you can have fun with spouses, with friends, with clients or one to another, that we take pride in one another. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest pride is us. And we're our greatest pride is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. And what's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? Mi ka'am chal Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz. And there's no one like us. That's what Hashem wears every single day. That's the lesson of Amartim Zevach Pesach. Hashem said, if I want to remember one thing about the Pesach Seder, it's the fact that you guys left with nothing. You had a lot of chesed u'rayach. You loved me so that you're willing to go out of Mitzrayim with nothing besides the mat on your back. And you know what? You're going to call it? You're going to call it Pesach. So I call Chag HaMatzot. I remember Pesach, and Torah calls Pesach, Chag HaMatzot, by the matzah that we made. And we call Pesach, Chag HaPesach. Amartim Zevach Pesach. We have to call Pesach because Hashem hopped over the houses of the Egyptians and saved us and remembered us. That's why we're going to say Amartim Zevach Pesach. We have to say and remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because for us, that's the greatest compliment we possibly give, and the opposite for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From Rav Yaakov Abuchaserov, the Abir Yaakov, the grandfather by the Baal Vasali, by the Merakims, one of the tremendous Mekubalim in the previous generations, has incredible ideas on the Seder. Just one small, tiny thought in Gematria, he says that we have four kosas, four cups of wine, and they're connecting the four languages of Geula. He says, if you take Ani Hashem, it says, Hoseiti, Hotzalti, Gaalti, Lakata, and each of the sukkim tells you, and I'm God, Ani Hashem. He says, if you take the Gematria of Ani Hashem, it's Gematria kos, Gematria of a cup. Because each of those representations of the four gulas are encapsulated by a cup. When you have a cup, you should be thinking of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, a drasha, on top of that drasha, if you think a miloy of Hashem's name, there are four levels of depths to Hashem's name. There's a name of 42 letters, or 72 letters. There's a 45-letter name that's pretty commonly known. There's a 52-letter name. There's a 63-letter name. If you put all those letters together, It spells this kos also with a deeper level, with the miloy, with the greater expression. That's the idea from Rav Abuchaserov. Another one idea, when I'm talking about the Dal Kosos, is Rav Amar says these four languages from the Baal Turim, the four languages of Hoteti Tegalti Lekavi that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, of Geula, represent the four Galios. And he says, why does it say Lakachti? Hashem grabbed us and took us out. The strongest language is the last one, because the last gulls that we're in is a very bitter one. It's going to be a very difficult, longest gulls of all them all. Now, and it's going to be the most difficult that Hashem's going to have to take us out of. And he brings the Gematria, Hoteti, Gaalti, Lakachti, the four of them together all spell the fact that we're supposed to have Leichatum and Arba Kosas, an amazing Gematria. put it, if you put them all together. I'm going to now go through the next section. If we put on our Mekubalim hats just for a moment, just to think of some tikkunim in the Seder, just because this is something I think that just elevates our spirits a little bit of how incredible Klal Yisrael is and how amazing we're able to become, and to become what we potentially have because our ancestors were able to do it, we could do the same. Just to go through this very quickly, I'll be happy to answer questions and explain this better after. But just to move through this, the Chidah says as follows, an amazing idea. He says, why do we dip twice? And why do we have to have two signs of Gula and two signs of Galus? What are the signs of Gula? The dipping twice and the reclining. Why do we need so many signs of Gula and so many signs of Galus? What's the signs of Galus? The flatbread, the matzah, and also the marr. Why do I need marr, bitter, and also the matzah? They're both signs of Galus, and why are two signs of Gula? He's talking about the Ma'ariv Tanis, and he says, because there are two sins we're trying to fix. One is the sin of Adam Arishon, and that was a lack of faith, a lack of a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also Bris Ben HaMitarim, when Aravinu said, B'mel Aida, God, how do you know, how do I know that I could trust you, that you're going to actually redeem my kids? Hashem said, you ask that type of question, you're going to see. They're going to go into Galus. For those two sins, we have one type of punishment of Amunah, and that needs to be rectified in Mitzrayim. And the other type is that we spoke Lashon Hara one against another, Beinonu L'Chaveiro. Yosef spoke bad about his brothers, and his brothers mistreated him. We have sins of Beinonu L'Makom, that's the Adam Arishon, and Adam Ravino sin, and that needs to be rectified as Beinonu L'Chaveiro. That needs to be rectified. It says, the matzah is in the Zohar, lechem, the hemnusa. It's the bread of emunah. That's the pictum in honor of l'makom. The maror is the banan on the chavero. We have to do a dipping, a tibul, because the brothers took the coat of Yosef and dipped it in blood. That destroyed the relationship between the brothers. We have to dip again to fix that. And in Mitzrayim, they dipped in blood to get us to freed. And we're going to dip at the Seder two times to fix both sins. They need to be rectified. And he explains that that's what the each sin is about. That's the basic idea of the Chidah over here. The next piece I have here is Rav Amar. He says, an amazing gematria, is a very cool one to think about. It says, Kisar Liros, that Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Sinai, he was afraid of it. This was a burning fire. He was worried what's going to happen. He says, what was he so afraid of? He says, because he thought there was going to be a geula. But Sar is a gematria, 260. He was afraid, Hashem, you're going to make the geula only happen after 260 years of Mitzrayim. It's 15 more years to the geula. He saw the gematria of Sar, and he says, why is that? Because 26 is Hashem's name. That's going to be a full tikkun of Hashem's name times 10. 10 is a milui of anything. It's the highest number in the regular system of Maharal. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of, and Hashem responds, don't worry. Ekye, Asher Ekye, I'll be like I'll be. I'll be with you now. It's not going to be a full milui of 26, but it'll be the way it is now. The state you're in now, I'm going to take you out. Gematria of Ekye, Aleph, Hey, Yud, Kay, 21. 21 times 10, 210. They left there 210 years. The Gematria of Radu. Rav David Abuchatzera, a nephew of Rav Yaakov Abuchatzera, who passed away in, I think, World War I in Morocco, when there were some terrorists, it wasn't by the army, but some terrorists. And Rav David Abuchatzera says an amazing thing about the four children. He says, they're connected all the four sins that were trying to attack in Mitzrayim. And it's a big Arizal idea, just to say basic concept, the gem of it. There was a sin of Adam Arishon that the Chacham is trying to fix. Because Adam Arishon in Chazal is Chachmasa Meruba Mishal Chem, he is the greatest wise person. We have a Chacham that we need to fix. We have a Tam, another child. That was the Dor HaMabul that needed to fix because Noach was Ish Sadiq Tam. Tamim Yodav Dor Tam. Russia is the Dor HaFlaga that didn't believe in the Kashmir any day in the Shul is the Sodom that didn't know how to do any Chesed for one another. And those four things, he says, is based on a Pasuk, B'timatir Eraseh, that I'm going to cry with the Rashi Tevos, that David Melch and Helm says, I'm going to cry over the Gullus, is because MSA, Aleph, Samach, Aleph, Mem, Samach, Hey, those are the four, the Rashi Tevos, the four different things. And he brings here, Avodas Perach. Perach is also for these four sins, Mabul, Palga, Sodom. Moving on, just one or two more ideas of the tikkunim that I really want to draw together with another story and put it together. I'm just going to go through this quickly. Incredible idea here. The Abir Yaakov says like this. He says, why do we make such a big deal in all of Torah and all of mitzvahs about Yetzias Mitzrayim? Was that the biggest miracle? It says in the Gemara, one of them, a rabbi, was trying to get to Israel. They're trying to travel to Israel. And there was a yardin in front of him. And he can't get over. So he davened to Hashem and he said, Hashem, can you make the yardin split? Boom. It opened up for him. And then the Arab who saw him said, wow, that's a cool thing. But you know, hey, you forgot your staff on the other side of the river. And he davened to Hashem and said, can you open the yardin? Boom. The yardin opened the second time. He walked back through. He got his staff and he ran back. If the Amorim were able to split the sea just like that, what's the big deal in Mitzrayim? So many miracles happened, okay, but like, with that, is that why we have to believe in Hashem? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the difference, the reason that's at the core of our belief in Hashem comes back to Mitzrayim? What's the big deal? Is that really why we believe in Hashem, because of Mitzrayim? What's this all about? Says the Abir Yaakov, he says, the basic idea is like this. Hashem couldn't just give us gula for no reason. It would be beneath our dignity. It would be embarrassing to us to get such a tremendous chesed from him. It would be like a pauper that just keeps showering with chesed and chesed. He can't do anything for himself. Hashem wanted to give us something that we're going to deserve. And that pella, the incredible wonder of Mitzrayim, is the fact that we're able to inspire ourselves and be able to metaken ourselves just a little bit. One thing after another, we kept our names, our clothing, our language. He said we kept the Obri Kodesh. We kept things. There was no intermarriage in Mitzrayim. There was no Arayus in Mitzrayim. The Nashim Sekanios kept us pure in Mitzrayim. And it says, Zachur Yom Asher Yatzatim in Mitzrayim. Kiviyachat Tiyacham in Mitzrayim. It says double language. We say this in Bishalach, and we say this for the men that say this after they put on their tefillin. What does that mean? Zachur Yom Asher Yatzatim in Mitzrayim. Remember the day that you went out of Mitzrayim. Because Hashem took us out. Did you go out of Mitzrayim or Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim? The answer is, says Abir Yaakov, both. You, with your own merit, took yourself out of Mitzrayim. But once you're Ma'orer, Hashem's Rachamim, then I took you out of Mitzrayim. And he says an amazing thing. It says, B'shivim nefesh, yardu l'Mitzrayim. There are three parts of the neshama. In Kabbalah, there's naran. There's nefesh, ruach, neshama. Nefesh is what the behemoth have. Animals also have that. Just a living spirit is the basic thing. Ruach is another step level up. A little bit of understanding. Neshama is something that Jews have that's a very unique, special, wonderful, incredibly high level of the neshama. That's Selam Elokim that we have inside of us. That is what the Jews had when they left Mitzrayim. After they were attacking themselves, they weren't just Shimim Nevesh Yerdim Mitzrayim, but they're Kechokhme Hashemayim. He says that's a Gematria Neshama. They left as high and great and wonderful as the stars of the heaven, the Gematria of Neshama. Now, I want to just end off with some other thoughts here, some basic points, just to put this together in the time that we have. Just give me a few minutes. It's like this. There was once a man, Reuven Kalfin, who was in Mea Sharm, was ready to buy a book, and he saw there was somebody else in the bookstore, and he's looking at him and staring at him in a weird way, and he was feeling uncomfortable. What was this guy staring at him? And it looked like he was just like looking straight through him. So he tried to avoid eye contact, tried to look at the books that he's looking for, trying to find something. And then he gets a tap on the shoulder and he's feeling a little spooked out. And the guy came over to him and the guy's talking to him. Says, hey, Reuven, sir, hey, are you planning on buying that book? And he said, actually, I am. He very nervous, stuttering, not sure what this weird guy is up to. The guy gives him that same weird stare, looking straight through him, like not looking at him, not blinking, very strange. And he says, can I please buy this book for you? Reuven thinks to himself, that's really weird. No. Baruch Hashem, I have money, I can buy it myself. The guy says, please, sir, can I buy it for you? And Reuven's thinking to himself, what's going on? Can you tell me, why do you want to buy it for me? He said, I'll tell you, I'm blind. And I used to learn Torah, I used to be able to read Sfarim and enjoy them. And I can no longer do that, but I have money. So I come here sometimes, and I ask people if I can buy them a sefer. And just so this way, when you're learning the sefer that you could buy, have me in mind. Give me a zechus. And when you don't think you're able to learn anymore, push yourself just a little bit. Reuven bought the sefer. The cashier told him, the blind person does this for many people. But you should know that he wasn't always like this. He used to come here and buy books for himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Seder is going to be a little bit different. This year is different. Sometimes we're going to be able to have guests. We'll be able to do chesed actively and openly and be inspired and be able to enjoy the geula a little bit as part of the Seder. So this year is a little bit different. Hashem, give us the vision that we just push ourselves a little bit more. Like that blind person was telling Reuven. Hashem, you're going to show us the geula with our own eyes so we can see it. Right now, we're in the dark. Please open our eyes. And with one last thought, I saw, it said, Rav Chaim Berlin once was he was a rabbi, the Nesiv's son. He was a rabbi in Moscow. When this all finished, and he had to travel for a life and death matter of the family. He had to travel to a very small town right before Yom Kippur, and he was stuck in this little town by Yom Kippur, and he knew nowhere to go. So he went to the little shul. What could he do for Yom Kippur? He's going to daven. And he's hoping, you know, the little shetzel in the shul, there'll be some minion, he'll be inspired, whatever, it'll be a young nice Yom Kippur, and he comes there, nothing. The Yom Kippur night, empty, nobody there, he's doubting to himself, pouring out his heart. Next morning he comes, he's thinking, a Yom Kippur with no minion? And there's one old guy sitting there. Can't believe it. He's davening Shacharis and Musaf, davening Mincha. Finally, in the eel of time rolls around, and a group of people, filthy, dirty, come into the shul, one after another, until there's a minion. And they start davening. They say, is it still light out? And they say, yes. They daven the eel together, they make a minion. And they're pouring out their hearts to Hashem. And Reb Chaim turns to the group of dirty people that look like they're working in the field, and they were digging all day. He doesn't understand. Where were you guys? And they say, this is our town, this is our shul. We were planning on being here for Yom Kippur. That's the first place, the place that we really were hoping that we could be. The last place in the world we could possibly want to be is out in the fields digging. But yet the Russians came with their army yesterday into our town and forced us to dig ditches for no reason other than to give us trouble. Because they knew it was Yom Kippur, the sergeant was laughing. And we couldn't get out of it. When they finally set us free at sunset, we came straight here. We didn't have time to tidy ourselves up. We didn't have time to dry ourselves off, to clean ourselves. Reb Chaim heard this, and he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where do your children turn when they have nothing in front of them to go other than to you? That's the lesson, I think, of the entire Seder. We have to recognize that we're banim lamakom. We have a place to turn. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu to turn to. He's our Father in heaven. With this chasadim that we'll be inspired about, thinking about, trying to get ready to be doing to one to another in the family, or more glory for Kalei Yisrael, Hashem's going to take us out of the gula and make all the tikkunim that we had in our previous generations. The last thing I left there was just Zohar about all the wonderful things that the Jews did in Mitzrayim. There was learning Torah, and they were able to do learning in all these amazing generations, we could do it, and Amir Shashan do the same in this year as well.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you, Salo. Okay, any comments or thoughts? Thank you, Raymond, for coming. Thank you, Shimon. Good to see you.
So this is recorded. We can get the gematria.
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ike, just a question about Ray A.